Good evening. I know that there are some here who are visiting with us tonight, and I want to say thank you so much for setting the priority to come worship God with us. Not only to the visitors, but to every member that's here, I hope that this lesson tonight is going to be an encouragement to you. And I hope that together we're going to examine the scripture and see exactly what God wants us to do. So several months ago, I presented a lesson about what the plan of salvation is and our response to the gospel. And that being that we are to be baptized for the remission of our sins and then to walk in newness of life. Well, tonight I'd like for us to look at what does it mean to walk in the newness of life, or what should I do now that I'm a Christian? How am I to act? If you would, turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. This is where we're going to spend most of our time tonight. And so before I begin looking at the scripture that we collectively are going to examine, I would like to say there's usually two extremes of how people view life as a Christian. To one extreme, it says, now that I'm a child of God, I can still do what I want to. I can live because God's grace is going to cover me. And because God's grace is so great, I'm good. That's one extreme. The other extreme is this. It says that now that I'm a child of God, I'm in salvation, I've got to make sure I am perfect. That no matter what I do, if I sin, I'm now out of grace. So I must pray and repent and confess and get back into it. And what do you know, 30 minutes later I sinned and now I'm out of God's grace again. But you see the two extremes. One extreme is no matter what I do, and the other extreme is basically I'm walking on eggshells and I'm frightened. Let's look at Romans 6, and let's see what Paul gives us on how we should live. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him in baptism, into death. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. So here are the two extremes. And what does Paul say? What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? May it never be. Because what does it mean to become a child of God? You say, Christ, I'm going to submit my life to you. Paul says right here, you buried yourself in baptism and you rise to walk in a newness of life. You've turned. You say, I'm going to follow you. You've left the old man behind. Verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who died has been set free from sin. Paul's telling the church here at Rome, listen, when you committed yourself to become a child of God, you were united with him. How? What does it say here in the first paragraph that we read? That we were baptized into his death. We took that old man of sin and we buried him. And then we rose to walk in the newness of life. So here in verse 5, it says we are going to be united with him in this death. And we're going to be united with him in this resurrection. We know that the old self was crucified so that this body of sin, that this worldly flesh and desire that we have is put away. It's gone. And now we're no longer enslaved to sin. For the one who died to sin has been set free from sin. We've changed. We've said we are going to come and we're going to act like Christ. We're going to follow his teachings. We're going to strive to show Christ light every day. That's the commitment you gave to God when you became a child of his. Continuing here in verse 9. Verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Christ is alive right now. He is alive, and we can be alive with him when he comes back. We can be alive with him right now as we walk in the newness of life. Verse 9 says this, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. When Christ died, he defeated Satan. He defeated the sting of death spiritually for all of us. Jeff talked a lot about that this morning with Jesus being the man, 100% human, because we needed that. Paul's going to talk about that later when we look at 1 John. John's going to talk about that as well. Christ has dominion over death because he is alive. We have dominion over death if we follow Christ, if we walk in the newness of life. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Like we said, Christ is alive right now. He is seated at the right hand of God, because he defeated death. Paul tells all of us, as he does the church at Rome, so you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That should give us all comfort, to know that we put our old man aside, we buried him, we crucified him, as Paul just says, and now we are alive. We are free from that bondage of sin, what Satan had on us, because why? We committed ourselves to Christ. Let's look here in verse 12. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. It's pretty tough to do, because our flesh is weak. And I will say this, sin is fun, and this is why Satan is pretty smart. Sin is fun. If it wasn't fun, would you want to do it? No. But sin can be fun, so therefore that entices us. But Paul's encouraging us, as he did the church at Rome, leave that behind. Take your mind from here on this world and look up to God. Have your mind set on things above. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. There's two types of instruments, is what Paul is saying. You're either going to be an instrument for the devil due to lawlessness, unrighteousness, sin, worldly desires, or you're going to be an instrument for righteousness. For sin will not have dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. And so what Paul says right here, when we take this verse 14, it says, for sin will not have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. He's not saying that you'll never sin again. He's not saying that at all. But what he is saying is, if you're walking in the newness of life, and you look and you say, I am burying this old man, I'm turning away from this, and I've got my mind set on the goal, on the prize. I'm going to make it to heaven. So therefore, what Christ did, I'm going to do. I'm going to show love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control, mercy, grace. That's what Christ did. That's what we should be doing. And when we do that, sin will have no dominion over us, because our minds are not focused on worldly things, but focused on spiritual. So he says that you're under grace. And then look what he says here in verse 15. Again, he asks this rhetorical question. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. He's saying, listen, I just told you, you have grace that's covering your sins. Are you to continue into this sin? No. Don't do that. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? The end of verse 16 says this, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. Earlier I said there's two types of instruments. Lawlessness, unrighteousness, or righteousness. Paul's got this other analogy going. You're either going to be a slave of sin or a slave of obedience and righteousness to Christ. You can't be in the middle. You can't be both. You're one or the other. And verse 17 should bring us all joy because it says, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free or sanctified, set free from sin, having become slaves of righteousness. I can just see Paul thinking of those at Rome and thinking of us. And all of those who are children of God throughout this world. And he's saying, thanks be to God. Why? Because you put the old man, sin aside, and now you're focused on being committed to Christ, slaves of righteousness. You were once slaves of sin. And when we say the word sin, that means you missed the mark. So it doesn't matter what mistake, sin, mishap, whatever you may want to call it, if you miss the mark, you miss the mark. And Paul's saying, thanks be to God that you used to be this, missing the mark, had worldly desires, but now you're a slave of righteousness. And when he says that those who have sinned, you think of the church at Rome, the church at Corinth. What does he talk about? He talks about homosexuals. He talks about idolaters. He talks about greedy people. He talks about liars and cheaters. Sin is sin. And it doesn't matter if you were a murderer or if you just like to tell a lie. Your sins can be forgiven if you bury him, that old man, with Christ and rise to walk in a newness of life. And Paul says, I'm writing you this letter because that's what you decided to do. You have made a commitment to Christ, and thanks be to God. That should give us all joy because we all have sin. And if you are a child of God, you can look back at your past and say, I missed it. I missed the mark numerous times. But thanks be to God that I am saved, that I am free from my sin. At the end of verse 19, he says, for just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. You're set apart. Paul is encouraging those at Rome and us. It's good sometimes to reflect on the past, to see where you came from, and to remember what you decided to do when you became a child of God, who your commitment is to. Paul is encouraging them, remember, you used to be slaves of impurity, but now you're slaves of righteousness, which lead to sanctification, or you're set apart. When we go out to our jobs in the world, to school, are we set apart? Do people notice that we're different? I hope so. Later on in the book of Romans, Paul says this in chapter 12, be transformed, not conformed. Be different. Be set apart. Verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Now, Paul here is saying this. Before you committed to God, you could care less about righteousness. Why? Because you loved that instant gratification. Because that's what sin's going to give you. It's going to give you instant gratification on whatever it may be. And you enjoyed it. And before you became a child of God, you disregarded righteousness. Verse 21, but what fruit you were getting at the time from the things of which you were now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. The fruit that sin produces is spiritual death. Paul says, you're ashamed of that. And I'm glad that you're ashamed of your past because it's made your heart change. It's made you focus on God, on the teachings of Christ and from the apostles, to make sure that you are walking the walk, that you are walking in the newness of life, as it says here in verse 4. Verse 22, but now that you have been set free from sin and become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. The fruit that you get leads to sanctification. You want to be set apart from the world? Show love, joy, peace, mercy, grace, kindness. Whatever adjective Christ displayed, you display that to everyone that you come in contact with, and the world's going to know you're different. Why should we do that? Because we have joy. Because we are free from our sins as children of God. We are not slaves to sin. We're set free. And what does this freedom give us? It says here at the end of verse 22, eternal life. That's what we want. Eternal life with God forever. Verse 23 is a very familiar passage to a lot of us, if not all. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I hope every time that we hear that, we think back to the beginning of this chapter when Paul says, should we continue in sin so grace may abound? May it never be. Why? Because who is our master? Christ is our master. We're obedient to God. We're slaves of righteousness, instruments of righteousness. That's what he says all throughout this chapter. I encourage all of us throughout this week, display Christ to everyone. To wrap up what Paul is saying here, let's go over here to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. So I ask, what does it mean to walk in the newness of life? We looked at what Paul said about setting the old man, he's been crucified, what we should be focused on. Verse 5 of 1 John chapter 1 says this. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. When I gave the sermon about the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, I looked at what John talks about with light versus dark. And that when light meets dark, light always wins because it displays the deeds of those in the dark. And displaying the deeds of those in the dark can be a good thing because it exposes our vulnerability, exposes our mistakes, our sins. And if we look at the light and realize, this is where I need to be, it's going to change us if we want that. If we want to be called children of God, it's going to change us. Verse 7 says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. When we see this light, when we read about Jesus and what he has done for us, we see this light, this love, this truth, this purity that comes from God himself. And when we walk in that, walk in light, walk in the newness of life, same thing, two things happen. One, we have fellowship with everyone who is a child of God, not just here, but in all of the world. Think how big your family is because of that. That should give you encouragement as well. But also it says that the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us. It's continual. Verse 8 says that if we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Again, John here is kind of saying what Paul said. Just because you become a child of God doesn't mean that you're not going to sin. So if we say, well, I'm a child of God, I have no sin, God's grace covers me, then what does it say here? You deceive yourself, and the truth is not in us. John and Paul both knew that once you become a child of God, you're not going to be perfect. And in fact, if it took perfection after you become a child of God to be saved, then there was still no reason for Jesus to ever die for us, because that's impossible. After you become a child of God, you're still going to sin. You're still going to make mistakes. But Paul encourages the church at Rome and us to walk in the newness of life. John's telling us, walk in the light. Our pathway should be focused on God, focused on eternity, focused on doing the will of God. Verse 8 says, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John says, when you mess up, confess it. Confess it to Jesus. He is faithful and he is just and he is forgiving. Once again, the power of Christ's blood continually cleanses us even after we are a child of God. He's asking us to confess to him when we make a mistake, when we sin. Verse 10 even backs it up, says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. John's just reinstating that. Listen, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to slip, but you still need to walk in that light. Still walk in the newness of life. You can do this. Chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. He's not saying I'm writing this so that you'll never sin again. That's not what he's saying. It's kind of like the rhetorical question of Paul. He's just saying, I'm writing these things so you will have your mind set on things above, because that's what I want you to focus on. But still in verse 1, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the Son. That's what Jeff talked about this morning, one of his points about who Jesus is to us, because he was 100% man. He's our mediator. He's talking to God for us because he can say, listen, God, I was there. I was tempted. I did it perfectly. This is hard. He just slipped. He's confessing this. We're going to continually forgive his sins. Thank God for that. Thank God we have a gracious and merciful God. To wrap it up, verse 2, he is our propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The whole world. What should we do after we become a child of God? Walk in the newness of life. You bury that old man and you say, no longer will I follow the desires of the world, of my flesh. In fact, I'm going to focus my mind, my attitude, my life, all for Jesus. That's walking in the newness of life. That's walking in the light. Again, I challenge all of us this week, show love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, grace, and mercy. That's what Jesus displayed throughout his entire life here on earth. You want to walk in the light? You want to walk in the newness of life? You display that. The good news is, if we don't do it perfectly, he tells us, just confess, and the blood of Jesus will continue to cleanse us. If you're not a child of God, I want you to think about your spiritual life. There's going to be two things that are going to be said. on the day of judgment. Well done, thy good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. I want everyone in this room to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what I hope, and that's what I pray for. That's what God wants from us. The choice is yours. Maybe you are a child of God, and you realize, you know, Craig, thanks for reminding me that I do need to confess my sins. Pray to God. That's what he's asking us to do. But maybe you're a child of God and you're struggling with something and you need our help. You need us to pray with you and for you. That's what we're here for. We're a family. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We all make mistakes. We're all trying to walk in the newness of life. We're all trying to walk in the light. But we are going to mess up. But it's okay. Stay on that path and display Christ. If you need to respond to the gospel, or if you need our prayers, I ask that you come while we stand together and sing.